Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today's March 18th. It's 8 minutes after nine. We're in Capital City, Juneau. With us this morning, Chairman Stedman. Senator Keel will be joining us shortly. Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman, Senator Cronk. We have one item on today's agenda. It's the university deferred maintenance. We invite Chad Hutchinson, the Director of State Relationship for the University of Alaska, to the table. Please introduce yourself and identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. For the record, my name is Chad Hutchinson. I'm the State Director for Government Relations for the University of Alaska System. Also online today, I have a number of great colleagues that can help with regards to some specific questions with our facilities across the system. The first person is our UA Budget Director, Alicia Kruckenberg. We have our UAA Director of Facilities, Chris McConnell. We have our UAF Director of Design and Construction, Cam Wolford. And we have our UAS Director of Facilities, Nathan Lay. And just so we're considerate of the committee's time, how much time do you have available today?
Brief it is. We have a little more than an hour.
A little more. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. What we're going to be conferring about today is our FY 26 deferred maintenance list, and we're very appreciative of the Senate Finance Committee considering us today. We've had great communication with Senator Stedman's staff. We even met on Saturday to talk about some of this, and so we appreciate Mr. Scott and the time that he's given us moving forward. So with that, here is the overview. This is we're going to go through the introduction and kind of talk about our facilities profile. It'll be very familiar to many of the people around this table. But we'll give an update as we look at FY26 and think about the context. We'll be talking about project cost analysis and historical funding. And again, that'll be very familiar to many of this table. And then we'll go through and have each of our facilities director talk about each of their areas of expertise, starting with a UAA, and then UAF, and then UAS. And important to know, as we think about the priority projects going forward, one of the documents that was made available to the committee is our overall master list. It's what Senator Cronk is holding right there. And that is our overall priority of the university as we go through the systems. You'll see the projects being referenced today in the document that you see before you. That was out of the FY26 Red Book, and it prioritizes 1, 2, 3, et cetera, all the way down. So let's talk a little bit about our UA facility profile. It serves the academic, research, and community service mission. A big part of what we do is workforce. That's one of the things that the governor has tasked us with to make sure that we can maximize the working age population for the state of Alaska. So we do everything from certificates all the way up to PhDs, from diesel mechanics and construction management all the way up to advanced biochemistry, et cetera. We have a large portfolio of real estate in the sense that with residential housing, general offices, classrooms, complex laboratories. We have 400 facilities. There you can see 8.2 million square feet. Average replacement value is $7 billion and an average age of 37 years. And as this committee is aware, the UA owns 40% of the state capital infrastructure. Our backlog, which we'll talk about in a few moments, and we can show the chart that we bring on an annual basis, our deferred maintenance is totaling now. It's approaching $1.5 billion. So when it comes to maintaining UA facilities, we will hear from our experts today as it relates to UAA, UAF, and UAS. And it is, as it has been for a multitude of years, our number one capital priority over the, and this remains this year too, is deferred maintenance. We do have aging facilities. We're very thankful over the last 3 years, especially with the Senate Finance Committee and the hard work that they've done. They've proposed a lot of dollars to go towards deferred maintenance. There's an element that happens, and we're grateful for every dollar that we get. But there has been reductions at the executive level after a legislative process. We've still received an average of $17.2 million per year, and we're very grateful for that. But that is something that is going to be a challenge for us going forward when it comes to meeting the standard necessary to ensure that our deferred maintenance does not balloon further out of control. On the bullet point you see second to the bottom, the modest annual revenue stream of $35 million, that's a reference to the legislation we had last year with HB 236. It came out of the House and got to the House Finance Committee. It's one of the ideas that we're open to this conversation with the legislature about how to do this, where we can have a stable funding component for deferred maintenance. Predictability is good for us as far as planning goes, and it allows us to have good consideration to ensure that the deferred maintenance issue does not get larger. So we're open to the conversation about the partnership with the state and what we can do to ensure that our critical projects are being addressed around the state, and we're meeting the students in a good place and maximizing that student experience, and make sure that we're contributing in a very valuable way to the workforce of Alaska. This is our UA facility profile. As you can see, there the number of buildings, there's a difference, and I think a lot of it has to do, if you think about the historical, the history of the university. You know, in 1917, UAF is founded. UAA becomes officially a part of the university system in 1954. So you see there they have 98 buildings, and UAS officially joins in 1987, and so you see they have 33 buildings. The major component that is worthy of addressing is the deferred maintenance backlog in the bottom right-hand corner. That's the part where it's almost $1.5 million, so you see it's $1.48. We have some system-wide offices. That's the SO. We have three buildings there. The example is the Butchervich Building, which is basically the command center for university system where President Pitney is one example. And we have some investment buildings. There's nine of them. The Berga Building in Anchorage is one example. And then we have the Orca Building in Seward is another example for commercial leasing. So we're going to talk a little bit about project costs, but our three experts online will talk more in depth about what each specific university does when it comes to their analysis. It's very disciplined, but you can see there we're using several methods: project size, complexity, expertise, funding status. Three methods include hiring engineers, architects, and estimators. We work with our university staff that at this point in time they have decades of experience, and they're very good at estimating and reviewing these construction projects. And then we use the university staff to produce estimates for projects, comparing the actuals and adjusting for inflation, looking at the cost data. One of the big issues that we have, just from a contextual standpoint, is inadequate funding. This is something that, of course, we've raised for many, many years. And when there's a limitation or a reduction in funding, so similar to what happened last year when we're very gracious to the legislature with what they did with our deferred maintenance, the amount was split in half, and what that happens for us. So instead of, if we have 10 projects and a reduction to 5 through a veto process, if it's 10 projects but there's a veto of half the amount, then that causes a rescoping of the projects that we have going forward, which is essentially what happened last year. So there's some challenges there whenever that occurs, when that version of the veto occurs. And that can cause us to have to do additional design work. It can cause some unpredictability as far as a phased approach for construction moving forward. And there's some other components that we just should be aware of. Generally speaking, that inflation has certainly outpaced our request of the capital budget over the years, and we have local construction cost pressures and labor market challenges also are contributing factors that just lead us to more challenges. So we just want to make sure that's clear as we kind of move forward. And before we get into our individual FY26 requests, I'll talk a little bit about our backlog graph that we show on an annual basis. And there you can see the dark blue is the state appropriation. And the green line is the amount, our minimum request. President Pitney tries to be very, very disciplined with the request to ensure that we're moving forward with a steady hand. You can see that it did rise from $50 million to $60 million starting in FY24 and 25. And that was that. I remember the statement that Senator Stedman gave about inflation and the pressures associated with that. And so we moved that up to a $60 million request, which is what you see in front of you today. And is in one of the columns in that document that's got our overall priority list. So there you can see $1.4 billion, almost $1.5 moving forward. And that's been a challenge for the university moving forward. So with that, I'm going to move on to the phone, and we have our UAA Director of Facilities and Planning and Construction, Chris McConnell, and he is going to walk us through some of their analysis when it comes to project priority and some of our FY26 requests, which you will see on that master list that we gave. So is there any questions from the committee before we move on to Director McConnell?
No. So Christopher McConnell, you have the floor. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your presentation for the University of Alaska Anchorage.
Excellent. Real quick, everyone can hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. So thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Christopher McConnell, and I serve as the Director of Facilities Planning and Construction for the University of Alaska Anchorage. And so I'm doing this over the phone, so I'll be deferring to Chad as I move through these slides. I'm going to anticipate that Chad, please make sure we're on the UAADM project prioritization slide.
Director McConnell, you're on slide 8, yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right, so this slide is a brief overview of how UAA prioritizes our project requests. So what UA does specifically is every 5 to 7 years, we hire an independent third party, in this instance it's Gordian, to come in and help us conduct an assessment, do a facility condition assessment to identify those assets throughout our buildings. They help provide baseline cost information using RS means, and they also assign a life cycle cost to each of these components, right? So that allows us to kind of forecast or provide a predictive outlook for what's due today, backlog, versus things that'll be coming due over the out years. So we kind of have a sense of the liability and risk that's going to come due over time. That good work is done in collaboration with our project management and engineering staff, as well as our boots on the ground folks, our facility maintenance operation professionals who are in these facilities day in, day out. Jumping around a little bit on the slide to the bullets, this activity is refreshed annually, but we handle that internally. And so when we do that internal work, we work with Gordian to escalate, right? So we're still following national market trends and regional adjusted costs. But then we also make sure we're accounting for any investment that the state's made in our facilities. So if we're grabbing boilers, we're doing building envelope investments, things of that nature, we adjust the data set for that good work that we do internally. So that way we're always trying to right size the numbers, and then we do an internal gut check. All right, is this still the true story, right? And so with all those feedbacks and those endpoints, again, we kind of take a look at the life cycle, but then we also go through an exercise of trying to prioritize this list, which is how the request ends up getting to you. And that prioritization includes considerations such as code, right? Health, life, and safety type issues. Are there imminent failures, right? Things change in these buildings because this is all a risk indicator. And so have we had more unplanned failures than we anticipated? And so should we be prioritizing that asset more, taking a harder look at some of those things? And so we're always reevaluating and taking new inputs to right-size the request and make sure we're hitting those right priorities. And so each of these numbers that you see or that are proposed are total project costs, so that would include project management time, engineering time, as well as any maintenance support and contractor costs. So before we move on, are there any questions or discussion on BM prioritization?
Seeing none, please proceed.
Excellent. Feel free to jump to the next slide, Chad. Slide 9.
Director McConnell, you're on slide 9.
Thank you. And thanks, Chad, for that feedback loop, because there's a delay in the stream. All right, so this is the picture slide that kind of highlights some of the challenges that we've experienced over the last couple fiscal years, as recently as last year, and then some of these challenges we're trying to address this summer. And I'll spend a little time here to kind of walk you through these pictures, because I think they tell an interesting story for your awareness. And my approach would be to go kind of clockwise, starting at the upper left, so the top three, and then working kind of down and back. So on the upper left, upper left-hand corner, the first picture there, is a picture of the library outside our consortium library. And this was a water main break that occurred. Of course, you know, all these failures wait for the best opportunity to occur right in the middle of winter. That caused some significant flooding, required us to shut down the fire sprinkler system, required close collaboration with the building official, in this instance, the municipality of Anchorage and the fire department. And fortunately, we were able to maintain occupancy of the space, but we had to institute a fire watch. And this impact lasted roughly a week, and was disruptive, closed down that entryway until it got done, until we were able to get in the ground and replace the valve and the failed parts that that we had to deal with. The next slide is kind of representative of these boilers we have. A lot of them are original to the building, some from the 70s, some from the 80s, but these are cast iron sectional boilers that have started to fail, and the sections are hard to get. In some instances, we've even had to try and source parts from overseas. But as we've been securing funding to reinvest in our spaces with your good support, we've been converting these to high efficiency condensing boilers, and then we try and salvage the sections so that way we have a stock or an inventory to continue to respond. But these types of boilers continue to cause challenges and opportunities across our campus. And of course, our maintenance folks would be tickled if we could continue to replace these assets over time. The next picture is an inverted roof membrane system roof. These are really, really great back in the day because of their durability, but they have significant challenges from a maintenance perspective. It's hard to capture leaks, and they're leaks. And they're also prone to, as you can see, vegetation and growth on the roofs, and they're just really difficult and costly maintenance items. And they're all beyond their useful life. And so every chance we get, we are looking to replace and renew these roofs. This roof specifically is the Sally Montard Hall, and so with your good support, we were able to come alongside federal and private investment. This roof will be renewed this summer, but it remains a target-rich environment on the campus, and there's plenty of other roofs in this age and condition that need to be addressed. So moving down, continuing clockwise, what you see here is our residential campus. We'll talk more about that in our priorities, but this is an area where we experience some water infiltration, and water is, you know, dangerous to buildings and sometimes hard to identify until it starts presenting a significant issue. Once it finds a path, it can go in and cause degradation. In this instance, we had some wood rot on the exterior siding and our entryways. We were able to identify it and ultimately get this remediated and repaired, but there still remain significant building envelope concerns that we would like to address. The next picture is a picture of some piping with sediment buildup in it. So you can see that over time, these old systems, especially with glycol, start to just corrode and build up and collect sediment, and that reduces airflow, reduces the flow rate and creates inefficiencies in the system. So in addition to just being a general problem that exposes us to increased failure, it increases operational costs. So anytime we can go in and renew this piping and kind of get it out there and get new stuff in and take proactive measures makes us more efficient. The next picture is another one of the library. This kind of just showed you some folks working in the hole and the valve that was being replaced and the source of all the water that was up above. And then the final picture in this sequence was some heating loss. So actually the mechanical system failure where we lost heat to a stairwell and it ended up freezing up some sprinkler pipe and then caused a flood issue. And this was in our social sciences facility. And so we had water kind of pulling up in the corridor and slowly creeping our way to our server room. And SSB is another priority that we're looking for support on. So with that, if you can go to slide 10.
And Director McConnell, we're on slide 10, and for the committee's knowledge, this is our first overall UA priority, and the FY26 amount, UGF, is $3 million. Director McConnell?
Thank you, Chad. So this is requesting reinvestment in our residential campus. Our residential campus provides almost 1,000 beds to our students and seasonally is made available to our community when capacity allows. We are currently at capacity and we continue to have a wait list. So these places and spaces remain an in-demand place for our students in the community we serve. And here we're continuing the conversation about building envelope investments. We're looking to work on our roofs. You may have heard a thing or two about some of those, and I'll talk more a little bit about the pictures. And then if the funding pulls along and we're able to finish investment in our roofs, we, of course, would like to target some mechanical systems. And these pictures here highlight some of those items. These components are failing. These buildings were constructed in the 80s, and just create an opportunity for reactive response. So again, reiterating the wood rot issue, but also the top picture there was an incident that recently occurred where we found this is the hot water main underneath the building in the crawl space that served our main apartment complex, and I forget the number of students potentially impacted, but we were able to get in there aggressively, pull this pipe out, and ultimately replace this section of pipe, but it had the risk of us displacing a large number of our students if this wasn't captured. It's like these are popping up all over the place throughout the residential campus. We're looking at replacing hot water heaters. We had a hot water storage tank fail, and there's a number of piping issues. So we're looking to prioritize our residential campus so we can maintain occupancy and continue to do the good work we need to do serving our students. So if you can jump to slide 11.
Director McConnell, you're on slide 11.
Excellent. So here's a couple more pictures just kind of highlighting. Right now, we have an active project where we're reinforcing the residential campus roof trusses. As in response to the overall issues that occurred the last couple seasons with roofs throughout the municipality, while this roof system wasn't one of the ones that the municipality was mostly concerned with, we did a proactive deep dive just to make sure, kind of belt and suspenders approach, that we were in good shape one way or another. And the campus proper was, a lot of those are steel roofs, but our residential campus had some truss issues, and so what you hear is some plates that are peeling away and some cracking in the trusses. And we do have a contractor on site right now working quickly to make repairs and reinforce these trusses, but that only takes care of the truss system, but is not actually doing a full roof replacement or doing any of that kind of work. But one thing I would offer is that whenever we secure funding to do these investments, we are looking at it through a lens of what things can we do adjacently to improve our situation. So while we're in there doing the trusses, it made sense to replace the insulation, right, which increases the operational efficiency of the building and will hopefully reduce operating costs of the residential campus, our main apartment complexes in Templewood specifically. The other one was one of our elevators. We started with just a generic renewal project, and then we got into it, and as we start looking at code compliance, the pit itself was no longer to code, getting constructed in the 80s, had an open bottom pit at the time, and so we had to come in and seal that up and make some repairs in addition to doing the general elevator renewal as well. And so often when you have older assets, you don't know what you don't know until you really open it up and start looking at it, and then things kind of always kind of raise up and need to be addressed. Slide 12, please.
So, Director McCall, you're on slide 12, and for the committee's knowledge, this is the fourth overall UA priority, and the FY26 amount is $500,000. Director McConnell?
Thank you, Chad. So here, this request is we continue to prioritize campus safety and campus access across in collaboration with the internal departments such as our university police department. We've made some expansion of our control program to some exterior doors, but it's hardly been comprehensive, and there's still a number of priorities that need to be high priority doors that need to be addressed. In addition, we're seeing failures. I put it up this at the parking garage. Again, water is dangerous, and if you don't, you know, and it's not always easily observable that there's a problem until the hardware starts having an issue. And so we had some water infiltration that started corroding our crash bar for emergency egress. The Avis Alaska Sports Complex, you can see the divergent hardware and the condition of those doors, and that's a prime community-facing facility and also another general security issue. And then other difficulties on the Anchorage campus, if you've ever been here, is wayfinding from a security perspective or a safety perspective, helping people navigate the places and spaces they need to get to. So, and then we can jump to slide 13.
So, Director McConnell, you're on slide 13, and for the committee's knowledge, this is the seventh overall priority on the UA's list, and the FY26 amount is $4 million. Director McConnell.
Excellent. And so this is, of course, we talked about SSB. I talked about one of the stairwell heating failures. We continue to have mechanical systems that are beyond their useful life. And so we're looking at renewing boilers and air handlers in that asset. We're also looking at prioritizing, say, things like lighting controls, right? And when you start thinking about energy efficiency, if you can get better lighting controls and do more LED conversions, that's kind of the low-hanging fruit for reducing operating costs. And so we try and capture any of these projects alongside some of those positive ROI stories. Also, what we have across a number of our facilities still is pneumatic controls. And if you're familiar with them, these are older air-based control systems that are well beyond their useful life. In some instance, the pneumatic tubing is getting brittle. The talent is not available, right? They're not training people to pneumatics anymore. It's all direct to digital control stuff. We are fortunate to have good seasoned professionals who know how to work on this stuff. But over time, that talent pool is slowly transitioning as these folks seek to do something else with their later years or make other personal transitions. And so this is a big risk point for us in how we operate our system. And then concurrently, when you start switching over to DVC, you know, we get better data on how our systems are performing and we have better control capacity. So it starts improving our own resiliency and then allows us also, again, you know, kind of sounding like perhaps a broken record, to use the cliche, it allows us to improve operational or reduce operational costs.
Director McConnell.
Go ahead.
Director McConnell, I moved on to slide 14, and this is the ninth overall priority for the UA system, and the FY26 amount is $847,000. Director McConnell.
Excellent. Thank you. So last but not least, I think we've touched on a number of these types and components, so I don't know that I need to belabor this slide, but this is seeking an investment in the Kodiak College campus. They, too, have one of those inverted roof membrane systems that gives our core maintenance professional consistent headaches and response requirements. And so this has been a top priority for a long time. I think we have a little bit of a way there to try and accomplish this goal and objective, but we're looking for help to get this one across the finish line so we can do the roof renewal. And then pending funding, of course, we have their GoTech system, mechanical system, is beyond its useful life. They're having problems in this instance. You can see these circ pumps and the condition of these circulation pumps that they have requested support renewing. And so that's kind of what we're looking at. And I believe, Chad, this is my last slide. And so certainly I'm available for any questions. If not now, I'm happy to follow up with any detail, but I'm just grateful for the opportunity and your continued support. And with that, if there's any questions, otherwise, I'll give it back over to you, Chad.
Seeing no questions, Chad.
I have a question.
No questions from the audience.
Senator Hoffman, thank you. Yes. The next presenter is our UAF Director of Design and Construction, Cam Wolford. And Director Wolford, can you hear me?
So I can hear you. Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Cameron Wolford, you have the floor. Give your presentation for the University of Alaska Fairbanks major maintenance list.
Director Wolford,
thank you, Chair Hoffman.
I'm going to move you to slide 16 and for a brief summary of the assessments.
Thank you, Chair Hoffman and the committee. This is Cameron Wolford. I'm the director of UAF Division of Design and Construction here at University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Can you get... Call the meeting back to order.
Director Wolford, if you could continue a brief assessment on the facility condition assessment slide.
Yes. Thank you. So similar to UAA's strategies and processes, we complete audits on a regular schedule. We use our design and building professionals to help inform that, the needs, the scope, the cost. From those audits, though, we look at a variety of scoring criteria, so many of which are looking at how the deferred maintenance project is affecting the student outcomes. What is a barrier? What's a driver to retention, enrollment, research capacity, and our mission? And then we make sure that aligns with our strategic goals. And then from there, we work with our leadership, U.S. leadership, on the most highest critical projects and then transfer those into our capital funding plan. So annually, UAF and Gordian, and Chris McConnell mentioned earlier, Gordian comes in and reviews all of our facility data, including the type of use, the maintenance, custodial grounds, and they compare that against other university and college peers. So we have about 17 peers in our data set. And of our data set, we have the highest number of complex buildings, meaning buildings that support high-end research, teaching, and require a substantial lifecycle renewals on a recurring basis. Further within that data, we in UAF have nearly 50% of our buildings are older than 50 years old. And while they receive routine and preventative maintenance, we do a really good job of stewarding those funds to the building maintenance. Those funds don't address system replacement, major code upgrades, and functional obsolescence. So we work on our deferred maintenance plan at the component level. If you looked at our complete backlog, you'll see buildings are broken into major components, HVAC, electrical, those things, where we define the scope of work and the cost. And then we prioritize those components in each building to make sure that we're taking care of the basics in the buildings, that we have good roofs, good envelopes, good heating systems, and that the students can come to those buildings and be safe and have a healthy environment to study in. So we can shift to the next slide, Chad.
Director Wolford, you're on slide 17, and for the committee's knowledge, this is the UA's second overall priority, and the FY26 amount is $12 million. Director Wolford.
Thank you, Chad. This is our most critical needs for FY26, and they have to deal similar to UAA with roofs and envelopes. We presently have three roofs that are impacting UAF students and our mission, and that's the Cutler Housing, UA Museum of the North, and the University Park Building. So the picture on the right-hand side of the screen there is the UA Museum roof. We've experienced a failure in the vapor barrier, actually, and some moisture from inside the building, is rotting out that roof substrate from the inside. And we are having leaks that are going into the collections area, the exhibits area, and that is impacting our ability to keep the museum open. It, as you know, the museum is a huge attraction to the community, to our research peers within the world and the globe. And so we want to make sure that those areas are kept dry and our collection, which is highly valued, is well protected. If we can go to the next slide, Chad.
You're on slide 18, Director Wolford.
So our on-campus housing provides substantive support to our students. It is well documented that having on-campus housing improves their degree program outcomes and improves student success, and overall enhances the student experience. We have about 2,200, 2,300 beds on campus, and just like UAA, we have a waiting list also. And further kind of exacerbating that waiting list are roofs. This is the Cutler roof. This is an area that we have patched. I don't know, I can't tell you how many times we've patched it, but we're kind of to the point where we can't patch any longer. And these roof leaks display students. So if you imagine you're a student, you're in the middle of your semester, you're working on a full course load, you have to be moved out of your bedroom because it's the roof is leaking. So this happens throughout the year, doesn't just happen when it's raining, because of the age of these roofs and how they're constructed. So one of our number one priorities is this Cutler roof. The next two pictures are over at University Park. So University Park's interesting. It's an old elementary school that the borough stopped teaching in back in the 90s. We adopted the building, so to speak, and I have been using it for a variety of community outreach programs. And we recently identified it as an amazing space to have our childcare facility. But yes, it does have deferred maintenance needs, but the location, the size, and the setup as already elementary classrooms makes the transition to a childcare center pretty reachable within our funding goals. We received a grant, a $5.6 million grant, to do the conversion to childcare. We know that childcare is important to UAF students and staff and faculty. There's a constraint in the community of Fairbanks, and it's posing a workforce and student participation barrier. We have done three different surveys over the years, and every survey indicates a need of between 100 to 150 kiddos at a child care that would then allow staff, faculty, and students to have a higher participation rate at UAF. And so we want to remove that barrier. We want to remove that impediment. And so the new center will accommodate around 175 children that will range from age 6 weeks to 6 years. And we'll also be able to offer after-school care for children up to the third grade. And the grant, it's very generous. It's made the provisions that we can create the tenant improvements to create the child care center. It'll address some of the deferred maintenance needs in the building, which is great, except for the envelope. So the roof on the wing that we need to, we're going to build the child care center in, has multiple leaks year-round. We've got good patches on it for right now. However, those patches have a very limited life to them. It actually is the original roof that's been coated multiple times to keep it intact in the building too much. At the same time, when we take that roof membrane off, the roof structure needs to be reinforced for seismic. And so those three roofs are our top priorities that will help remove some barriers to our student and outcomes. We can go to the next slide.
And Director Wolford, so we're on slide 19. This is the fifth overall priority for the UA system. The FY26 amount is $1.7 million. And Director Wolford, if you could go through the next couple slides in about 4 to 5 minutes, that would be good.
Absolutely. So out of the Kuskokwim campus, Kuskokwim campus is our regional education hub for Southwest Alaska. Recently, we just invested $2.5 million in one of the buildings out there to create nursing clinical teaching labs so that we could increase the nursing cohort at the Kuskokwim campus. This is in direct alignment with the regional healthcare industry there that's needing more nurses. However, the Maggie Glenn building, which supports all the classroom components of the nursing program, as well as the rest of the degree offerings here at Bethel, is in need of some major code upgrades. And so on the right-hand side, you see the fire alarm panel there. The fire alarm panel is completely aged out. We've got one spare part for it, and then once that spare part is used, that system will no longer be effective. And we will either have to perform a 24-hour fire watch in the building or close the building down. And closing that would be majorly disruptive to the programs there at the Costa Woods campus. We can go to the next slide, Chad.
So on slide 20, this is the eighth overall priority for the UA system, and the FY26 amount is $10.4 million. Dr. Wolford?
So UA has committed to providing a safe campus for all of our NANIT students. Ensuring student welfare is a priority. It requires ongoing efforts to modify and upgrade pretty much every component of the campus. And so in this category here, in this priority here, we are focusing on projects that maintain spaces sufficient for all academic programs, as well as reduce risk in the event of emergency. And there's a whole wide array of projects here. These projects also have second and third level impacts, where they just get students from returning to UAF, which affects our enrollment, right? Through less capacity and less opportunities. And then, so we're trying to get these maintenance and code corrections completed so that we can maintain sufficiency in the spaces. And so the two pictures on this slide here, over in the Salisbury Theater and the Fine Arts Building, the wood structural framing creates a fire hazard there. That's actually been under code citation for many years, and we've addressed the most egregious code issues in the theater so we can keep that open. But we do have an edict from the fire marshal to complete the next phase, which is the one that's in this request, by the end of 2026 so that we can continue to use the theater for not just theater programs, but for journalism and for our One Health research initiative. A lab for civil engineering and geological engineering instruction is way too small to accommodate their classes. They can only fit about 5 to 6 students in there. In fact, this same lab that I took the same class in back in 1993, it hasn't changed, but our class sizes have. And so that's an impediment to our engineering students. Either they can run the class, or they have to wait an entire semester to take this class. We can go to the next slide, Chad.
You're on the next slide.
Again, similar to the duck green lab, we have the undersized room and the dust removal issue. Lab ventilation in our chemistry lab and our physics lab in the Reichardt building, a very specific component with that ventilation system has not been supported by the manufacturer for about 20 years now. And we have a few parts left to keep our labs going, but we're nearing the end of the supply of those parts. And when they are run out, we have to close those labs. And affecting the chemistry and physics lab is not just about those programs. It's about core science competencies for many of our degree programs. So that'll, it creates another barrier to completing your degree on time. And then finally, within this category, our restrooms, pedestrian safety, overall, just the overall campus experience when you come here. Broken stairs and ramps increase the risk for trips and falls, right? It also prevents our students with mobility challenges from accessing our buildings, which is an impediment to our accessing our academic programs. So I appreciate the time to discuss these important priorities. I look forward to working with this committee to create a positive outcome for our students and our state. And if you have any questions, I'm free to answer those.
No questions here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Nathan Lay, are you online?
I am.
And
Mr.
Chair, do you want us to skip the project priority side and get right to the FY26 projects, or what would you prefer?
Please skip those and go to the priorities.
Director Lay, we're going to go right to slide 24. This is the third overall priority for the UA system. The FY26 amount is over $3.2 million. Director Lay, please.
Yeah, so I'd like to point out the photo on the top right. This is a repair of a water leak. We have a water main that's running through campus that used to serve everything out the road, and it's over 50 years old. And what brought us notice to this was one of our electricians saw some water coming out of an electrical box. and says, well, that's not normal. And so we started looking into it and got the city involved, and they found this water leak. We had to close down campus, and luckily we had a contractor who was able to repair it, and we got it back up within like 48 hours. And this is the second time this has happened. The other one was more dramatic, but this water line needs to be replaced, and that's in part of this request. Also, this photo on the bottom left, that's an air source heat pump. These things are great. They reduce your energy consumption, you know, 40 to 70%, you know, when they're working. Unfortunately, these LGs haven't worked real well for us, and so this will be replacing those LG systems with another one that's more reliable. And then the bottom one is, we've got several fuel tanks up at housing that are 35 years old. They're single wall tanks. And this is the kind of deferred maintenance that you don't know it's a problem. And it could be not a problem for years or decades, but it's a risk to the university and to the state to leave those types of fuel tanks in. And so that's what this is requesting. Can we move to slide 25?
So, Director Lee, you're on slide 25. This is a continuation of the third overall priority. Go ahead.
So this is also a general campus. One is replacing the roofs up at housing. And this is another good example of, you know, we have in-house staff that look at our deferred maintenance and come up with a project list. And then we also have the outside consultant, the Sightline Guardians, with the, also UAA and UAF mentioned. And the roofing wasn't an issue on our list, but Sightline Guardians said, you know, these are roofs that are coming to age and you need to be looking at them. And so we hired another AE firm to come in and look at the roof specifically. And they identified a roof on our rec center, which isn't on our list, but it will be next year. It has almost a dozen leaks, and the roof system needs to be replaced. So it's a good example of using multiple sources for information to find your deferred maintenance. Can we go to slide 26?
Director Lee, you're on slide 26, and this is the UA's sixth overall priority out of the Ketchikan campus, and the FY26 amount is $820,000. Go ahead.
Yes. So on the Ketchikan campus, they installed this siding that it is installed down south quite frequently. It's a cement siding, and initially it wasn't expected to last a long time because it's cement, but unfortunately the weather in Ketchikan didn't do well in there, and so this project is replacing that siding. We received money to replace the siding a couple years ago, and it was during the COVID and the large impacts of inflation, and the bids came in double the engineer's estimate, so we had to cut the project in half. And then when we went to do construction, you know, we started digging into it, and then we find all of this rust on the beams and trusses that are underneath building supports. So it's another example of there's a lot of deferred maintenance out there that you don't know about until you kind of get to a building. And so this project will do the second half of that, and it will make some repairs on the rusted structural members. We move to slide 27.
Director Lay, you're on slide 27. This is the UA's sixth overall priority. Go ahead.
So this is also in the scan. I want to point out the line of motors along the bottom. We had a new facilities person come in and notice these motors, and what has happened is that the air handler is off alignment a little bit. And so they didn't have, they couldn't fix it when they installed it. And so they've just been replacing the motors every, you know, 3 or 4 years. And it's just a good example of a Band-Aid effect. You know, a lot of times we don't have money to fix a problem properly, and we just put Band-Aids on things. And so, you know, you look at this line of motors down here, they're all old, they're all burnt out. It's the Band-Aids that we've used to put that together. And so this project would spend some money to place that air handler and put in a proper alignment on the motors. And then move to slide 28.
Director Lee, you're on slide 28. This is the UA's 12th overall priority, and the FY26 amount is $820,000. Go ahead.
So this is our, I mean, this is our state campus, and it's a really good photo of a pneumatic system. You know, so if you're an old person or a steam pump person, pneumatics are really cool because it runs off air pressure instead of electronics. But it's also not as efficient, and it doesn't give you as many options for controlling your heating and ventilation system. So this project would replace the pneumatics with the digital controls, and then also it would replace the windows. You know, you look at this window, and you can see that it's a double-pane window, but the air gap in between is compromised, and sometimes deferred maintenance, it's not visible. But in this window, it's visible. And so when people go by and look at this window, they see that something's wrong. And so replacing these windows would not only make the building look better, but it will also improve the energy efficiency. So that's a list of all of ours. Appreciate everybody's concern about this. It's a problem for UAS statewide on deferred maintenance and, you know, what we can do about it. It's a great improvement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're open for questions.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what would be beneficial, since how I guess tomorrow we'll figure out how far underwater we are, but we're $300-400 million underwater, that if you could prioritize this list in $5 million increments, starting with zero, and then 5, then 10, 15, 20. When you hit 35, you might as well just take a break. Because I don't think there's any money in the budget right now for deferred maintenance, and we got to do something. But we have a significant deficit we have to deal with. So this may end up not the year where you end up with substantial maintenance money. And also, Mr. Chairman, if we could maybe have him let us know their absorption rate and how much deferred maintenance money is yet to be expensed that's already been appropriated.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. Those are the words from the chairman of the capital budget. I'm chairing the meeting today because of his sore throat, so to speak. So those are requests of the chairman. So we would request those be submitted to the chairman, Chairman Stedman. Are there any further questions of Mr. Hutchinson?
Senator Stedman, we'll get you those requests, and we have the CASA report. We'll make sure you get that, too.
Seeing no further questions, that concludes today's meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow morning, Wednesday, March 19th at 9 a.m., we'll be hearing an update on the three-year budget outlook, again from the Legislative Finance Division. People may be wondering why we're continuing to have these updates. We are trying to keep track of where we are financially on our deficit so we can make appropriate planning measures. With that, we are adjourned.